We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting seen in the Lancashire Evening Post Small Ads, read by Charlotte Green.
Small rabbit hutch, £5, would suit gerbil.
Thanks to Neil Inclu of Preston for that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Krishnan Guru Murthy. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toxby. Jeremy, whose speech led to the masses crying out in unison, GMB, NUT, TGWU?
This would be Her Majesty the Queen, who made a speech. Her heart's not in that speech, is it? She was a lot more sprightly under the Tories. I think she liked the material better.
And she said a lot of unsavoury things about the best man, I thought, as well.
But she rattled through it in a rather perfunctory way. And they're privatising everything. Railtrack is going to run the whole of society in future. And they're going to privatise all of education. They're going to bring in more and more religious schools now on the basis that learning about religion... This is what people say. If your child goes to religious school, then they learn the difference between right and wrong. And that's true, because I'm an atheist, and I just don't get this right and wrong thing at all, personally. I mean, I'll just, like, kill someone. And people say, Jeremy, and I'll be like, what? And basically, they're going to have all kinds of selection in the schools, and they're stratifying, you know, so the middle-class children all become managers and PR people, and the brighter working-class kids go and work on computers, and the slightly less able working-class kids get all shoved into call centres, which is, I suppose, the point of chat lines, really, preparing teenagers for a lifetime, making pointless calls to complete strangers on social hours. And then all the other kids who slip through the net will be mopped up by the expanded police force and banged up in chokey for years because they're getting rid of the right to trial by jury and justice. I know justice is supposed to be blind, but it's not, not supposed to be stupid and right-wing as well.
But, there'll be another opportunity to hear the Duke of Edinburgh remembers tomorrow night.
The thing that's scary thing about Labour is that the Tories privatised public services because they didn't like them and they knew the private sector would screw it all up. Labour actually seems to think these people are good at running things. And all it means is all schools will be closed down and we'll have World of Pencil out on the Pearly Way somewhere. Kids will have to drive there on a Sunday and get all their education needs on one weekend. The private sector is rubbish. I'll give you an example of capitalism. Everyone says, oh, it's all choice and diversity, and it's not. What?
Well, it's just that Alan gave up smoking and I really don't want him to start again.
Well, I'm pissed off, I'm sorry.
In fact, if you keep going, I'm going to smoke, Alan, okay?
It's probably the wrong answer, anyway.
I forgot what the question was.
Is it the Queen's speech?
Of course it was.
There you go. I got it right. What more do you want?
What are you
as soon as I get
what?
Me prize, I'll
what
stop talking.
There's nothing more to be
well,
said.
Well, you might have had another question.
Well, the enjoyable thing I thought about the Queen's speech was that she got up and within about 18 minutes was at Ascot, which was wonderful. And in the Times it said she wore a peppermint hat. And I thought, how fetching. I imagine her saying, if that horse doesn't win, I'll eat my hat. Why was she in a peppermint hat?
It's no wonder she cracks through that, because the thing is held in the House of Lords, and after 2 hours, the smell of urine must be becoming overwhelming. Hot day, you know, badly ventilated.
Oh, and they slide off the seats in those rubber hats. Bless them all, the people's peers.
2 points, Krishnan, which come...
Is that where the word peer comes from the verb to pee? Peer, I-P-U-P.
No, I think it actually comes from peer, as in Brighton Pier, because these are all people who are very long way out to sea.
Yeah. Krishnan, which company has been found to be a signal failure?
Well, there's only one company that can be a signal failure, and it's Railtrack, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct.
Because 18 months after... We all knew what had happened at the terrible train crash at Ladbroke Grove. Lord Cullen told us all what we all knew for 18 months and didn't tell us anything we didn't know. And this has cost millions and millions of pounds, and the government don't have to respond to it because there's part two yet to come. And so they didn't give us any interviews. They didn't say anything we hadn't heard before. It's called Kicking It Into the Long Grass. And it's very, very long. It's taken forever and cost a lot of money.
I don't think it's completely fair to say that Railtrack haven't been doing anything about safety, because I read that there's been a problem with magpie nests on the line. And what they've done outside Wolverhampton, they've got 10 plastic sparrow hawks. And apparently they dangle them on a wire, but they don't just leave them there. Oh, no, that would be foolish. What they do is they move them every day in case the magpies get suspicious. Sitting there going, that hawk's not moved for a while, what do you reckon?
At least Colin's report has finally put to rest this thing about driver error, these feckless working class people who just sit around all day up the front of the train. Why would they care whether it crashes or not? Snugly up there in the front among all the shearing metal. You see, they don't care, the working classes these days. They need a war, that's what they need.
Railtrack has now been subjected to a constant barrage of criticism on everything, from signalling to railway sleepers, or, as we call them, safety inspectors. 2 points there. Sandy, when it really comes down to it, who'll be rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic?
Oh, blimey.
I didn't actually hear the question.
No.
We're asking
Can
for
we ask it for one with consonants in it?
All right.
He's in charge. It sounded like you were going down with the Titanic, darling. This is the only word I got. I'm sorry.
Sandy, when it witty comes down to it...
Hey.
Well, yes.
Yes, now.
Now.
We're there. Yes, do you want to finish it?
No.
No, you're fine. Bless her heart, the great stately matron, the great state ship of the Conservative Party, is not going to lead us. And I think it's a sadness, because what a laugh we've had with her. I don't know if you know this. She has decided she's not going to stand for the leadership, and she was surprised, apparently. She said she was very surprised to find that she hadn't got the support that she'd expected. She was also surprised to find that she hadn't been offered the lead at the Ballet Rombert. And this is going to be the Christmas cover girl for Bride magazine. And apparently, which is the thing I loved best, is a coincidence that at the exact moment of her announcement, at 12:10, there was a minor earthquake in Afghanistan. Which is a curious thing. And she says that what she's going to do is she's going to go home and spend time with her elderly mother. Can you imagine that woman at home going, oh, my Lord. Not more time with Anne.
Is her mum chained to the bed, by the way?
It's the ongoing Tory leadership campaign. Ian Duncan Smith, David Davis and Michael Ancram have confirmed they'll be standing against Michael Portillo. Alan, what simply wasn't cricket?
Is this the pitch invasion stuff?
It is.
Well, I come to recording this on the day of England's 11th consecutive failure in the one-day match, having been smashed by the Australians. And the only interesting thing about it is pitch invasion. It's the only way you can get any excitement out of an English game at all. I think it's part of an England tactic, probably with the Ashes coming up. The Australians walked off at the last one. Somebody threw a firework and the Australians said, we're out of here. And that's our only hope for the Ashes. A few riots, a match abandoned, at least we get an honourable draw. If we can actually stay there long enough for anybody to light a firework and throw it, we should be fine. They had stewards, rather old men, I mean, nasty old men, all stewards at cricket grounds are nasty old men, holding up chicken wire, chicken netting, all the stuff you have gooseberries on, or raspberries. And they expected to hold back this enormous mob who just flattened them. It was like a cartoon. Really was, like Roadrunner. They held this thing up. Sorry this is radio, but how do you handle that? Quite. So that's what they did. It's the end of cricket as we know it.
Repeated crowd trouble during the England-Australia-Pakistan one-day series have forced the England Cricket Board to consider installing football-style fences around all grounds. The thuggish violence which now taints English cricket has led the Australians to threaten a boycott of the rest of the series, not the first time we've heard the words thuggish violence, English cricket and boycott in the same sentence. We start round two with a cutting from a holiday brochure.
Local information. Aborigines are now as popular in Cyprus as potatoes are in the United Kingdom.
Just to explain, they probably meant aubergines. Thanks to E.B. Wood of Exeter for that. Jeremy, who has... Would you,
ah, I know this. Oh, no, it's gone, I'm sorry. What's the answer? No, go on.
Jeremy, why is foot and mouth the bee's knees?
Well, there's two foot and mouth stories. One is a suggestion that they will use them in defence in future. The Russians, rather than send up monkeys and dogs into space, they'll send up diseased cattle and sheep. Since Russian spaceships are all made from old tractor parts, it doesn't make a difference. But, no, the main foot and mouth story is bees. Bees are cashing in. Cynically, at a time of national crisis, bees are profiteering, cynically, because there's all these wildflowers that are not being trodden on by ramblers and pigs and pigs' vans. And so there's lots of pollen, which means hay fever sufferers are all suffering, but the bees are in clover and other things. And there's a mite as well. There's a mite that does something, but I lost interest in the story around the same time as the audience did.
More or less right, yes, indeed, 2 points. Krishnan, who was bowled out for a duck in his first test? Somebody scored nothing in their first test.
It was Richard Cable.
It was indeed, yes.
We found the shocking news that the sports minister doesn't know anything about sport. And he went on to a radio programme that is about sport, which was the first clue.
Yeah?
Said, I'm the sports minister, hello, and they asked him a few questions. He didn't know anything. And this comes on the back of various ministers not knowing anything about any of their portfolios. Stephen Byers doesn't have a car and he's the transport minister. And Estelle Morris failed her A-levels and she's the education minister. And Richard Cable doesn't know anything about sport.
And Tony Blair doesn't know anything about... Oh, no, stop there.
Mind you, see why the transport secretary should be able to drive a car, unless he can fly a plane and drive a train as well.
No, that's true. I agree. But you can imagine Tony Blair offering Richard Cable the job, can't you? I want you to be sports minister. He says, I don't know anything about sport. He says, well, that's all right. I mean, Gordon doesn't know anything about the economy. I don't know anything about...
The real reason is that he's John Prescott's best friend. So they had to give him a job. He's the sort of Ernie Wise.
Really? Or else. Yeah.
Do you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yes, well, you got that right, so we'll move on. Sandy, listen to this. A Night to Remember by Shalimar. Who was threatened with a duel, Sandy, after forgetting to mention a couple of knights?
Suddenly it comes back to me, and the reason it took me a while is it's because it's from Canada, and whenever that country comes up, I go into a slight coma. I don't know why. There's just nothing completely gripping about it. They gave out all sorts of lovely knighthoods and honours, and some of them very well deserved. I was very pleased to read in the paper that a woman called Catherine Page has received an OBE for services to trampolining. And I didn't know trampolines needed that much servicing, so I thought it was... Well, it's not complicated, is it? It's a spring and a bit of a tight gauze thing in the middle, but there we are, and she's... And I think honours are a marvellous thing. I think that many, many well-deserved honours. Barry Cryer got an OBE for services to the pub industry. And two were given to people who turned out not to be English at all, which is apparently bad form. And they were given to some Canadians without asking the Canadians. I feel that Mr. Curran should be Sir Franklin. Should be Sir by now.
Sir Franklin, why?
Well, Sir, because I think Alan doesn't suit him. And I've decided, because you know I'm Danish, I've decided in future, because I think people wouldn't hear the difference, I'm going to call myself Dane Sandy Toksvig. And, what do you think? I think I could get away with it. Small spelling error on the business card. Anyway, the Prime Minister of Canada, who's very memorable, but his name's gone from my mind. Cretin. He's a bit of a cretin, that's it. And he's got terribly cross about the whole thing.
Tony Blair came under personal attack from the Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien over knighthoods awarded in the Queen's birthday honours to two dual citizens, Terence Matthews, George Bain. Canadian-British citizenship is quite usual. For example, when Greg Rosetsky reaches the semi-finals of Wimbledon, he's British, but when he crashes out in the first round, he's Canadian. So, 2 points to whoever got that right. Krishnan, listen to this. Girl Power by Shampoo. Krishnan, why is the smart money on women in the long run?
We know this.
Do we know this?
It's brains. Ladies' brains last more, which is why men's memories go first. And after a long period of marriage, there is absolutely no point having an argument with your wife. Because she has catalogued and detailed every flaw, every failing, and every mishap of 50 years, which she relates to you in perfect order. And then you say, yeah, but you, now what did I walk into this argument for? And they live longer as well. They're cleverer and live longer, but have to sit sideways on horses. So it swings them roundabouts.
Thing. They say, you know, that women talk more than men, but what it is, right, if there's a sort of situation where the man's gone out to work and the woman's left at home with a young baby, apparently all people use about 20,000 words a day, okay, and the man goes to work and, you know, by the time he gets home, he's used up about 18,000. He's got about 2,000 left, and she has been at home all day with a baby. He comes in the door, she's still got 20,000 words left to use up, and it's not to, you know, it's not that we're nags or anything, we just got words to use, that's all. And bigger brains and all that as well.
It was during the Stone Age women began to get their hands on simple tools, or husbands, as they later became known. Sandy, why are the Chinese ducking the question of their biblical plague?
Is this to do with the locusts?
Yes.
Well, this is very worrying, because there have been a series of sort of Chinese mishaps. And this, it's supposed to be a major biblical plague of locusts, and soy sauce gives you cancer. Is that right? Those are the kind of main kind of Chinese things at the moment.
And you didn't tell him about the ducks.
What ducks?
They've trained the ducks to go and eat the locusts. They're clever, the Chinese.
Oh, that's very good.
Millions of paraducks that go in, and they go and eat all the locusts in China.
That's fantastic.
It is very unsettling when you order crispy duck in the future, yes. You don't know what it's been living on. And indeed, since the locusts are rather large, you could be eating crispy locusts because they've got the same elbows. You know, I mean, it looks like it, like that. But that's what they are. The Chinese have trained ducks.
Alan is now holding his hands 10 feet apart, and that's a boy's idea of size for a locust.
Of course, the other thing, that was not just the Chinese one. I was intrigued to see, because there was this headline that said, Mormon cricket threat. And the ones that are going across America are called, the locusts are called Mormon crickets. And when I saw sort of Mormon, I thought, this Salt Lake City 11 is going to come over and thrash England. And they're called Mormon crickets by American euphemism, and they're eating Utah.
Do they evangelise? Do they knock on your doorbell on a Sunday morning in a little
and
suit?
And give you a little Bible, yes, absolutely.
No.
Turn up in tombs in a dark suit.
Can't go into a motel in Utah. You pull open the side door, reaching for whatever it is you put in there first, and a cricket comes out and tells you about the Book of Gideon.
The Chinese are hoping to deal with an unprecedented plague of locusts sweeping Central Asia by flying in a squad of 1 million trained ducks to eat them. Chinese officials have balked at the cost of the scheme, though they should have realised that any scheme involving 1 million ducks would leave them facing a huge number of bills. They assume a single swarm of locusts can consume more in one day than 10 elephants, 2,500 people, or Nicholas Soames. 2 points to Sandy. Alan, who thinks their new publication doesn't have a prayer?
Oh, this is something about a new prayer book.
Yes.
2 points.
Yep.
You don't really expect me to read that. I was boning up on the ducks. It took me all day to work out the locusts. I couldn't be start mucking about with the prayer book.
It's to do with the collects. Or is it the collects?
The collects.
It's the collects.
But there's always a new prayer. Every 10 minutes, just to get on the news quiz, they bring out a new prayer book. I mean, it's the only way the church can survive is on the news quiz, the only time anybody hears about it.
It wasn't modern enough, or it was too modern. Or which was it? It wasn't modern enough, that was the thing, and they thought it was too old-fashioned, and there weren't enough prayers to get people to win millionaire, that kind of thing.
What?
No, it was the thing. That was the thing. They wanted it more up-to-date.
Yes.
So you could pray for things you really wanted, like a Ford Fiesta or something. No. Sorry, something you really wanted.
Monday.
Yeah.
Members of the Church of England clergy are said to be outraged at the old-fashioned contents of the new prayer book, Common Worship. So, before we start the final round, here's an item spotted in a seed catalogue.
Adansonia digitata, perfect houseplant, 50 to 70 foot high, a conversation piece.
Thanks to Dr. Richard Tomiak of Chiswick for sending that. Jeremy, your piece of music. Jeremy, which pensioner bit off more than she could chew?
Is this a pensioner bites dog story? Do you know? Pensioner? Pensioner bites the dog.
Tallahassee. Does the name Tallahassee strike a familiar note?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where she was from. She had a little terrier, about the size of a rat. And a pit bull terrier launched itself onto it. So this woman, it's rather like the old lady that swallowed the fly, but in reverse, she threw herself onto the pit bull terrier and bit it until he let go of the little terrier. He's a busy life, this woman, but that's what life is like in Tallahassee. There's sod all else to do, I'd imagine. So they go out and bite dogs.
So is that 2 points to me, then?
No, of course it isn't. 73-year-old...
Well, I was being supportive.
73-year-old Florida woman rescued her West Highland terrier from a pit bull by sinking her teeth into the pit bull's neck. What was amazing was not that she sunk her teeth into the pit bull, but that she'd managed to whip them out to do it in time. After the incident, she received medical attention at a Florida hospital and had 4 stitches in her arm, later changed to 5 after a recount. They arrived at that number after holding her arm up to the light to see if the dog's teeth had gone all the way through the skin. 1 point to Jeremy for guessing it, and 1 point to Alan for knowing it. Christian, who was fiddling around with their ancient organ this week?
Alan?
Who was fiddling around with their ancient organ? Give us a clue.
I don't know.
Well, we know this as well.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, just be quiet for a moment.
Tallahassee, one bit an organ. No, it's 2,300 years old.
Yes.
That's the only interesting thing about that story, so I didn't read the rest. But I think it's the oldest organ in the world.
Organ as in organ?
No, it's got pipes and things.
All right.
And Vox Humana, and a bloke sits on it and pedals, and they're playing things on it, because it's an organ, and it's very old. It's worth a bloody point of anybody's mind.
Yeah, we're just one.
I can't believe this story passed you by, Krishna.
Oh, no. You're
supposed to have your
finger
on the pulse.
Strangely, it didn't make.
It's the kind of stuff that gets on dispatches, though, isn't it?
Archaeologists and musicians have discovered the hydraulis, an organ invented by the ancient Greek engineer Ctesibius. According to ancient surviving texts, within months of its invention, the hydraulis was being played before kings and princes and was used to accompany love songs, hymns, and the first recording of Cliff Richard's Living Doll. So a point to Alan. Alan who?
What? Alan who? After all these years? It's the best you can do. 25 years of the news quiz, and it comes down to Alan who, did you?
Alan who?
Sir Alan who, if you don't mind.
Alan who, is it fair to say, has got himself a bit of minor difficulty?
It's about a minor bird. It's one in the zoo that whistles. Doesn't actually say anything, but this one shouted things like divorce and she's in the wardrobe. it's true, and it blew the whistle on its owner. I mean, quite literally blew the whistle on its owner. Either the husband or the wife came home, and the minor bird started saying a lot of things that it had watched with its little eye from its perch. And whichever spouse had been introduced, tried to get the minor bird to appear in court. And it was some daft place like China. Sorry, China, but I mean, it wasn't in England.
Imagine the trouble that would have been saved if Mary Archer had had one of those. Imagine the bird would have got, exhausted, I would have thought.
They can only repeat what they've heard, can't they? Or are they allowed to make stuff up, minor birds?
Only minor stuff.
I mean, they could embroider. They could exaggerate, couldn't
That's
they?
That's true.
That's only a bleeding bird. I think You know, I mean, would you trust a budgie? I know they don't talk, so you could trust them, I suppose.
A Chinese woman claims to have discovered her husband was having an affair thanks to their talking minor bird, which repeated phrases such as, divorce, I love you, and you must be patient, even though none of them spoke English. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
This was sent in by Thomas Lelux. I can't pronounce that. And it's from the Nottingham Evening Post, and it's in the Small Lads Holidays. Ireland, Irish pub, spring break, bar opens 11 a.m, closes November.
Christian.
Well, this is from a German motoring magazine, the equivalent of the AA. A car driver passing through a 50 km/h limit at what he thought was the correct speed noticed the flash of a camera. Being absolutely certain that he had been within the speed limits, he drove through it again, this time at 40 km/h, just to be able to prove the camera was faulty. Again, the camera flashed. Feeling absolutely certain, he drove through at 30 km/h, and again, the camera was activated. Very smug, he drove off ready to take this battle to court when necessary. 3 weeks later, he received a summons from the local police station, accompanied by 3 photographs of him not wearing a seatbelt.
Sandy.
This is from the Wolverhampton Express and Star, sent in by Mr. R. Oakley. 50 jobs will be lost after a 100-year-old poultry firm in Tipton revealed today it will be closing down. Joanna Harris, spokeswoman for the Chapel Street Company, blamed competition from foreign firms and new government and European regulations. She's quoted as saying, it's the end of an era and all the staff are gutted.
I have this Jem Simon from Thursday's Evening Standard. Viagra is now banned in Irish greyhound racing following rumours that trainers have used its performance-enhancing qualities on their dogs. The spokesman for the Irish Greyhound Board said there had been no positive tests yet, but it was thought it might give dogs an extra yard.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Jeremy and Christian have a very good 13, but Sandy and Alan, this week's winners, with 19 points. Before we leave you, here's an item spotted in the Avon Advertiser.
The aim of the If We Can Cook, So Can You show was to demonstrate that enthusiasm, not expertise, is the essential ingredient for a career in catering. Presenter Jeff Morn said, it's not a difficult trade to learn. It's a great job where you throw up something different every day.
Goodbye.
Jeremy Hardy, Krishnan Guru Murthy, Sandy Toksvig, and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Paul McKenzie, George Poles, Simon Littlefield, and Dave Cohen. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.